from the latest on Caribbean cruises to kosher safaris, pilgrimages to Jewish Eastern Europe, and award-winning wines and international cuisine in sun-drenched Tel Aviv. Sit back and enjoy the trip with the travel edition of the Jerusalem Post podcast.
This is the life, isn't it? Sitting with your feet up, facing the sea, seagulls flying about, sunrise in the distance.
The sunrise here is, it's probably the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen over mountains and sea. You know, when we started this podcast a few months ago, and then we began to go on our trips around the world, and our friends said, oh, can you take us with? The one that we're on now was the one that I got the most requests for from friends saying, oh, can I carry your suitcase?
Not just friends, family.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Like anybody. The postman, the mailman. And he said, can I go? I mean, I don't know how he knew where I was going, but...
I think it's called social media. Yeah. We taunt people. So...
should we give them a clue?
We can give them all a clue. We can say where we are.
Okay, go for it.
We are in the beautiful Italian city of Napoli.
We're 10 stories in the air. Well, we're not in the air. I mean, we've got things underneath us.
But yes, there are nine other stories underneath us.
We're 10 stories up.
In the port of Napoli on a ship, a very, very, very large ship.
It's a cruise ship called...
Harmony of the Seas.
Which is run by Royal Caribbean. And some of you might remember, we interviewed Ben Bolden, who's the vice president of Royal Caribbean for the Middle East and Africa and Europe. And in the end, for a variety of reasons, the cruises didn't leave Haifa port. So
we were very surprised, but very, very thankful when we received an email about 3 weeks ago from the lovely people at Royal Caribbean who said, come try out a different ship that we've got called Harmony of the Seas, which is one of the largest ships in the world. We'll be going on a cruise from Rome to Barcelona.
Not bad.
Not bad. So Dave and I thought about it for at least a second before saying, of course, definitely.
So we wrote to Lucy for the PR team, who's been a wonderful host for us. And we met Ben last night in Rome, and then overnight we set sail for where we are now, which is the Bay of Naples. To our right and north of us is the city of Naples, and we can see the castle, the citadel there. And off to the left in the distance, the whole bay opens up as far as Sorrento.
It goes even further to Capri.
Right, we can't quite see Capri. Oh, we can. Look, there's Capri off in the distance.
Oh, is that a Fort Capri?
So we can see Capri. And if we actually bothered to bend our head around the corner, you can see Mount Vesuvius over there. But more of all of that in a few minutes' time, because we're going to be taking you around the Bay of Naples. But as we do at the start of every podcast, here's a quiz question or two.
Question number one. I mentioned earlier we were on the second largest cruise ship in the world, the Harmony of the Seas. Can you name the largest cruise ship in the world?
And one of the most famous soccer players ever to grace this planet, an Argentinian, played for Napoli, the local soccer team where we are now. Can you name that player? The answers at the end of the pod.
And a very good morning to everybody from Sorrento in a wonderful coach park with a view of five coaches.
Now, when you say coaches, our American listeners are automatically going to assume that we're in the realms of sort of Ted Lasso, you know, sporting coaches, baseball coaches.
And a bus.
You mean buses?
Bus. And we have to get the terminology right because we've spent God knows how long walking around calling the wonderful ship that we've been sailing on, which is parked up in the Bay of Naples at the moment, a boat. So it's a ship.
I don't think it's parked either.
Do you park? We've disembarked?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Or got off? So anyway, after this holiday grammatical lesson, we're in Sorrento going for a nice little toddle, which is a walk for those people that don't know what a toddle is.
So I think we should describe the journey that we've taken. We have travelled around the Bay of Naples. Naples is a couple of hours by train south of Rome. It's an old city. It's the largest city in southern Italy. It's got a population of 2 million people and supposedly even older than Rome, which is quite amazing. Now, you and I have been to Naples in the past, wandered around it, and it's got a bit of a bad reputation because it's not as clean as other cities. It's not as automatically tourist friendly. You don't get that feeling of, you know, it's like a Venice or a Paris where it's made for tourists, but it's raw.
Yeah, it's partly industrial. The big port there is not just a tourist port, it's there for the military as well. It's there as a commercial port, and they've built some quite ugly buildings in front of the really, really old, beautiful parts of Naples or Napoli. It sits in the shadow of Mount Vesuvius, which puts it in the yellow zone for volcanic activity, and we got to drive through the red zone. So apparently we were told if the volcano goes off, that's it, sayonara, which is good Italian, I believe, sayonara. So
one of the points that they made, and it's particularly noteworthy as you're driving through the whole area, is that the roads, particularly in the sort of metropolitan area, are very, very poor. And they're saying the only way that you can actually escape if Vesuvius was to erupt is on the roads, but there's no way you could do so.
Yeah, you've got 2.5 million people that would need to drive on these old volcanic roads.
The roads are actually made from basalt.
That's old lava, isn't it?
Yes.
Cool. Or not cool, it's actually quite hot. So we're going to go on a little walk around Sorrento and see from the ground level what we saw up above. The view as you come into Sorrento over the bay is just outstanding. Beautiful. Lemon trees, olive trees, a lovely cloud over the mountains. Being on the other side of Vesuvius, we're in the area which in the shadow, I think, of the Milky Mountains, as they call it.
Absolutely.
Because of the soft lime that the mountains are built from.
So you've got this interesting blend of both volcanic rock and, as you said, the limestone. And so if you look at the housing around here and the various buildings, they give a blend of those two rocks. So the churches and so on. By the way, did I hear right that there were 470 churches in Naples?
Some very, very high number.
It is an incredibly Christian centre. Sorrento is sort of southwest of Naples in the bay, right opposite Capri, that magical island that the film stars used to associate themselves with. The whole area came to fame, really, when the Grand Tour started back in the late 1700s and 1800s, when those young people from the wealthy parts of Northern Europe, from France and from Britain, when they'd finished their studies and they would travel around Europe to become more acquainted with the world. A lot of them would go on to become diplomats and so on, but there were other many famous people who came to this part of the world, apart from on the Grand Tour, and lived in Sorrento for a while. Amongst them, Friedrich Nietzsche, who lived here for 6 months, and Gorky, as in Gorky Park, he lived here for 6 years. He was, of course, famous for much of his political writing in the early parts of the 1900s. And during his second exile from Russia, he spent 6 years working here.
On a completely different subject, as a horse-drawn carriage, a beautiful white horse going by.
The cab driver of the horse, less beautiful.
Yes, and also less happy with his life.
Yes, he's in military fatigues, or at least the top half.
And his red face would indicate that he likes the local limoncello maybe a little bit too much.
One of our tour guides told us that her grandmother makes limoncello to, 95% alcohol volume?
Is her grandmother still with us?
So the tour guide said they only ever drink it on a Sunday, because traditionally in Catholic families, after church, you have a meal that basically lasts all day. And so that's the only time
It's sort of a palate cleanser, but I think the way she described it is less of a palate cleanser and more of an explosion.
Yes.
The interesting fact I was going to tell you, that the lemons here are much rounder than the lemons that you find on the Amalfi Coast.
Which is round the corner.
Yes. But they have a thinner skin, and therefore the limoncello around here is much, much nicer. We'll find out.
Mark, you're actually holding a wet microphone, which was... The noise that we could hear in the background is a donkey that just attempted to eat Mark's microphone. Mark, where are we?
We are I think it's called Galatea Farm in the hills above Sorrento. Let's ask the donkey, where are we?
No reply.
This gone all shy now,
we're
the donkey.
In an agricultural tourism farm.
Yes. What do they produce here? What do they make here?
Olive oil, over 1,000 litres of olive oil. It's extra virgin olive oil at less than 1% acidity, 0.8%.
Mozzarella.
We get in a few minutes to make pizza. There's also...
Limoncello.
Well, how could you forget the alcohol? I think we're going to have to move away from this donkey and record somewhere else because it's getting a little bit...
I think it wants to present.
It's frisky.
Oh, wow. It's getting quite lively. So now that the donkey has calmed down...
The only reason the donkey calmed down is because you left the area of the donkey.
No, I think it was more the donkey didn't want to be interviewed. It was a very private donkey. It's come here to retire.
When they talk about a donkey sanctuary, it's because they're seeking sanctuary from people like you.
They hate journalists and people with microphones. We left the donkey. We went to the farm shop to see where they make limoncello. And we've learned the secret recipe for limoncello, which is alcohol.
Yes.
More alcohol.
A little lemon.
Lemon rind, lemon skin, lemon zest.
There were 10 lemon... rinds in what, about half a litre of alcohol?
Yeah, 95% alcohol.
Yes.
And then you boil water and sugar, turn it into a syrup, then you add the juice made from the alcohol and the lemon zest, and then with the lemon rind that's left over, you can make lemon marmalade.
We haven't explained, we're actually on a trip with a group of journalists from around Europe, and at the moment they're all tucking in behind us to food that has all been produced on this farm. The only thing they said they don't produce is water.
There is some salami, some olives, white wine, red wine, bread with olive oil. And in a few minutes, we're going to make mozzarella and pizza.
The next voice that you will hear will be that of Mary Lou, who is one of the managers of this farm, was born on this farm, and is the fourth generation to run this farm.
So now we show you how to make two cheeses, Buongiorno Giambattista, that thanks to the milky cows that produce, I told you, 250 liters of milk every day, we make caciotta and mozzarella. The first cheese, called caciotta, it's made just warming up milk and rennet. And comes the curd. So the white solid part, it's the curd. Whey is the liquid part, but for doing caciotta, we just use the solid one. And thanks to the little basket with holes around underneath, filling the curd inside, pushing from the top all the way drain. In 20 minutes, this cheese, it's ready to be served and to be eat. So this is a very, very fresh cheese called caciotta. From this cheese, we can also make another one. Boiling the whey, so if we boil the liquid part only, comes right on the top, this light and soft cheese called ricotta. Ricotta means re-cook, cook twice. So first you do caciotta, and then we can do ricotta. Second cheese will be mozzarella. Right now, this is a solid curd. To do mozzarella, we use the same ingredient than caciotta, but this time we prepared last night because all the whey need to be completely drained very well. And so last night, he warmed up milk and rennet all together. He put on a big cheesecloth and comes the solid piece. That, as you can see, he's cutting now in a tiny pieces. Because to make mozzarella, what he need? Only boiling water. So the water is boiling in the kitchen. Adding all these pieces in a pot that we bring here in a few seconds, you can see the transformation. Thanks to the heat, all the little pieces, they're going to be an elastic dough. So Manuel, from there, he works and makes different shapes of mozzarella cheese. In the farm, we don't have any kind of machines that make shapes. So every day, my cousin works with his hands and makes freshly mozzarella. Slowly, slowly, all the pieces, they start to be melt all together. And comes like a Play-Doh, you know? Kids loves to play with the mozzarella dough. The word mozzarella comes from an Italian verb, mozzare, to cut, means in English. So for doing the little ball, look what he's doing. Cut with two fingers and make the little ball that we call bocconcino, little bites.
Bay of Naples fact file. The Bay of Naples can be accessed from Napoli International Airport. The airport serves as a base for EasyJet, Ryanair, Wizz Air and Volotea, but can also be accessed from most major European cities such as London, Paris, Amsterdam, Brussels, Vienna and Madrid, as well as Istanbul and Dubai. Alternatively, you can fly directly to Rome from the US and Canada with Air Canada, American, United, Delta, and from March 22 with ITA Airways. Napoli Central Station is an hour by train from Rome Station. Pompeii can be reached from Napoli by car, train, or as part of an organised tour. The same for Sorrento, but you have the option to travel there by ferry too. Napoli has a number of luxury hotels such as the Grand Hotel Parkers, Grand Hotel Vesuvio and the Romeo, as well as chain hotels such as the Curio Britannic, Renaissance, Holiday Inn, NH and Ramada. For five-star luxury in Sorrento, there are a number of grand hotels such as La Favorita, Ambasciatori, Royal and Excelsior Vittoria. US dollar will buy you 0.87 euros. The Amalfi Coast has a Mediterranean climate with summer temperatures reaching 30 degrees Celsius, 86 degrees Fahrenheit, and winter minimums dropping to 5 degrees Celsius, 41 Fahrenheit. The rainiest months are between October and January. The Amalfi cuisine uses a great variety of ingredients from southern Europe. Fish and seafood, cheeses, pasta, olive oil, citrus and herbs provide the most distinctive features of the region's cooking. Details of kosher food in the region can be found on the Chabab website, kosherinnapoli.com.
We've made our mozzarella. What do you do when you've made mozzarella, Mark?
Make it into pizza.
Yeah, make it into pizza. That's what we did. We did our dough bits. We poured on not too much tomato sauce.
But we flipped our dough. Not just did our dough bits. We flattened them, softened it a bit, flipped it in the air a couple of times and caught it once. Removed the contents of the floor off the dough.
As you know, we love to talk about food and more so to eat it. But we should spend more time talking about the destination we've just arrived at now and a little bit less time talking about the delicious pizza.
And David, you visited the toilets at Pompeii.
I did indeed. And now we're about to visit Pompeii itself. Let's take you back 700 years before the Common Era. So we're talking, I can't even work that out, 2,700 years ago, and a town develops around olive oil. Place to export olive oil around this part of the world, and it was a place that was governed by all sorts of peoples, the Etruscans and all sorts of others from this part of the world, until it was taken over by the Romans.
Move forward 600 of those years to 61 AD, and this wonderful city was hit by an earthquake and completely destroyed.
The Romans thought, we'll fix it, and they started all of the work, and then 17, 18 years later, guess what?
Vesuvius exploded.
Mount Vesuvius is just almost a stone throw. I guess you'd say it's a lava throw away.
Volcanic stone rock throw.
However, what we just learned is that because you think of lava as being the one thing that comes out of a volcano, but apparently the lava in 79 of the Common Era didn't head towards Pompeii, but rather to Herculaneum.
The other direction flew all the volcanic rock and ash. So raining down from the sky was flaming, burning rock.
And this lasted for 3 days. During those 3 days, according to those eyewitnesses who survived, you couldn't see anything. It was an area that was pitch black. Of course, that was a tragedy for the people of that period. But for those of us in the modern era, it's almost akin to, I guess, an archaeological miracle.
The people in Pompeii, they didn't perish on the whole from, I mean, some of them will have perished from the rock, but unlike in Herculaneum where the lava came in and killed everybody instantly at a temperature of 500 degrees, here in Pompeii, one of the largest killers was the poisonous gas that came out of the rocks. Everybody has a vision that Pompeii is this city that was destroyed by lava and was well preserved and everything here, but it actually wasn't. That was Herculaneum. And now when you come just outside Napoli, Pompeii is the one that has been archaeologically restored, whereas Herculaneum is still going through that process. Most of it is still underground. It's a lesser visited site.
Welcome to the theatre district of Pompeii. The population here in Roman times was 16, 17,000 people. And what did they do of an evening?
Go to the theatre.
They went to the theatre. And what do you do on your way to the theatre?
You stop at McDonald's, apparently.
You stop at McDonald's. And what's incredible here is the vast number of hot food concessions that there were just outside the theatre. We're on the main drag.
We're on the Via Stabiani, heading downhill to one of the exits from Pompeii, where there's an arch that you can still see intact at the end of the street.
And the reason it's called Stabiani is because that arch and that exit led to the nearby town of
Stabiani.
Just like the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem isn't in Damascus, but it was the road to Damascus.
Wasn't that a film with Bob Hope?
Ah, very cute. We're walking up this street, which was in the time one of the main thoroughfares here, and we're walking on volcanic rock, the basalt that was used, the stones that were just laid out in this beautiful rock form.
Do you not think that would have been a clue at the time, when they're building from volcanic rock? There may be a volcano.
Yeah, but that happened in a previous generation. It's not going to happen to us.
If you look carefully, you can see the way the rock is laid out with all these spaces in between and grooves. If I understand correctly, that was the sewage system.
Right.
Because we're on the street heading downhill, everybody's sewage would head downhill through the middle of the street.
And there are certain places raised up where there are sort of three really large stones, almost like a pedestrian crossing to make sure people didn't get their feet wet. Now, you can still see in certain places where the chariots would go across these stones, because years and years of wear and tear led to grooves being created. But because there were so many people here during the day, the chariots only came through at night.
So we're round the corner from the theatre. There are three theatres in the area, but the main theatre here is reasonably well preserved. Part of it was destroyed in World War II, but it was then rebuilt. And in 1971, I believe, Pink Floyd played in that theatre. We're deep in the heart of Pompeii now, and we've gone through a very strange sequence of buildings. We started with the spa, where you go for your massage. Mm-hmm. And then after the spa, you came out of one side and you walk up this street, and then there's a pharmacy. After the pharmacy, you had a hotel. And then after the hotel, there was a building called the Lupinare. Do you know what the Lupinare is, David?
Well, I do, and that's because of because of my middle name. My name is David Zev Harris, and Zev is the Hebrew word for a wolf. Lupus, Lupa, Lupinare. So that must have been where they kept the wolves.
Exactly. Sort of. The Lupinare was, in fact, the local brothel. And what would happen is people would go for a massage, then they would go to the pharmacy and buy a condom.
You are joking.
No, absolutely serious. They would buy condoms made from pig skin, or cow skin, or snake skin, depending on your budget. Then there was the hotel where visitors would stay. And then opposite was the brothel. And it was called the Lupinare, the wolf house, because the prostitutes would try and draw people in by howling like wolves.
Not a lot of people know that.
But even more interesting, the Lupinare did not have doors. They were quite basic rooms with stone beds, and red curtains were drawn over each one. And the only thing lighting it was a candle. So that light through the red curtain was why they're called red light districts. Fascinating.
Oh, Mark, I am absolutely tuckered. I'm talking about walking 10,000 steps in a day. We must have put in 11 steps.
Yes, I went on the golf cart for most of it.
We've now staggered into the English pub on board the ship.
Which more stagnated than staggered me.
Oh dear, we're on the Harmony of the Seas and we're in the English pub called the Boot and Bonnet.
What are you having, David? I'm going to have a Guinness.
I'm going with my usual cider. Reminds me of Somerset back in the UK.
What language was that?
I don't know. Pirate. Do you know what September the 19th is?
Is it National Talk Like a Pirate Day?
It's World Talk Like a Pirate Day. I think it's either the 17th or the 19th.
Is there a reason it's that day?
No, it's just a made-up thing.
Unlike Star Wars and May the 4th.
Oh, May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
Talking of 4th...
September the 19th.
Talking of the 4th being with you, we also have to say some thank yous. Big, big thank you to the team from Royal Caribbean.
Ben, Lucy and Isabel. You know your cider hasn't arrived yet, so I'm not sure you can actually blame it on that.
Don't spoil it. I'm going to put in some clinking glasses sound effect at this point.
And if you like this podcast, give it a 5-star rating on your podcast provider. Subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe, and listen to our other 23 wonderful podcasts that we've done so far.
You're very good at keeping count of how many we've done.
I'm good with numbers.
You're good with numbers.
I maintain the spreadsheet.
He certainly does.
David tries to type on it, and then I correct it all.
Oh, my good Lord. Yes,
quiz answers?
I think we should before I get totally tipsy.
Question number one. Can you name the largest cruise ship in the world? Can you?
I can.
Okay. Shall I give the answer?
Yeah, sure.
The answer is the Symphony of the Seas, also from Royal Caribbean. But in early 2022, Royal Caribbean launched an even larger ship called the Wonder of the Seas. And it would be a good few inches longer than Symphony of the Seas.
I'm not going there. Question number two. One of the most famous soccer players ever to grace this planet, an Argentinian, played for Napoli. Can you name that player?
Yes.
Well, obviously, because you wrote the question. The answer is Diego Armando Maradona.
The barman is making his way over to us, so we should say a rapid goodbye and order some beer.
Cheers.
Goodbye.